Right, we're going on.
Okay, so continuing our discussion about the Sorihuruga Malchus. So you have the king, the Roman governor rather, who's been inspired to learn Torah, who goes to the Meshulei Arimas, to the Sanhedrin, and has a daily shiur on Chumash, has learnt the Parsha of Mechiras Yosef, has learnt the Pirkei de Rabbi Elezer that they sold him for 20 shekel for the price of Na'alayim, for the price of shoes, and then he learns the Parsha in Parshas Mishpotim, and there is this Parsha is repeated again later in Devarim, that V'goynev ish u'mechoroi v'nim tzobayodoi mois yumos. There's somebody who kidnaps a Jewish person who kidnaps a Jewish person, can be a man or a woman, and he sells that person as a slave, is chayv miso. So therefore he says, I'm holding now a din Torah. If I had been alive at the time when the brothers sold Yosef, then I would have held a Sanhedrin, I would have held a judgment, yeah, a court, I would set up a court, and I would have judged the brothers of Yosef, that they're chayv miso al pi Torah. They're chayv miso according to the Torah. And therefore now, there's more kashas than that. Okay, so we'll discuss it. Okay, but we're about to discuss it. So the question is, yeah. And therefore he says, you are chayv misa because since the days that this is the loshon that we say in Ela Eskro, that since the days of the brothers of Yosef, there's never been an assembly in existence of 10 great tzaddikim simultaneously who could take the place of the brothers of Yosef. You are the 10 greatest tzaddikim that exist since, and alive at the same time, since the brothers of Yosef, and therefore I'm going to judge you. And therefore you're going to be chayv misa. And it seems like...
It's all allegorical. I mean, did he really think like that, or just a story?
Well, that's what we said. At first we thought that the whole thing was just a pretext, that he wanted to kill the tzaddikim of the generation, and therefore he was looking for a pretext. But the Ela Eskro says exactly the opposite. First he learnt the Pasuk, right? We learnt the Chazal say that he was inspired to learn Torah. And he went to the Meshulei Arimas. He went to the Sanhedrin. He attended a daily shiur in Chumash. And that's what gave him the idea. That's what inspired him with this idea that he should be Mechayev, the Asura Harugi Malchus, to replace the brothers of Yosef. Now, the question is...
Ela Eskro is not history. Ela Eskro is just a
tefillah. Ela Eskro is a medrash. There's a medrash called Ela Eskro. I mentioned it, printed in Hamburg in 1853 from a Ksav Yad Atik. And I don't know how old the Ksav Yad was that it was printed from, but it was some sort of a medieval medrash. I don't know how far back it goes. Right, and it describes, that tells the story there, and the Ela Eskro also tells the story. We said that what we say on Tisha B'Av doesn't tell this story of the din in front of the Roman governor. Right? It just mentions the Asura Rugi Malchus and how they died.
When did it come into our tefillahs?
What? It comes into our tefillahs because...
When Yom Kippur?
Oh, on Yom Kippur, just immediately after we finished the Avodah,
yeah,
and we're saying the Slichas, and we're saying Ein lonu lo kainim v'lo yishim and lo leish v'lo yishim and lo this and lo that, and we've lost the Beis Hamikdash and we've lost the Avodah and we've lost the Avodah of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. At that point, we say Ela Eskro. We put in the Asori Harugei Malchus immediately after the Slichas, after the Avodah, to lament the fact that we no longer have a Beis Hamikdash. We no longer right. That, and this story happened at the time of the Churban of the Bais Sheni, which is the last Beis Hamikdash that we had. So since that period of the Asura Harugi Malchus, we don't have Avodah, we don't have Yom Kippur.
Svardim say this?
I don't know whether the Svardim say it as well. I don't know. Need to check it out. Boss? Again, it would need to be researched. I don't know. But it is in our tefillahs, and we say it twice a year. We also say it, as I said, on Tisha B'Av in the Guinness. Okay? So B'liyeda not tomorrow, but Sunday, Emir Hashem, we'll have to examine whether or not his Din Torah stacks up at all. Right. Does his accusation of stack up holds Din Torah? Because it seems like the tzaddikim never argued back. Right? Rabbi Shmuel went up to heaven to ask whether or not this was a gzeirah, but it doesn't seem like they had any halachic debate with the emperor.
Started at 2 in northwest London, Friday, Kaf Zion 7, 12th of June. Rabbi Gary Bazak, Shlita, Borum with Kodal, and the Project Seed, Parsha theme. This week's service is Vontel Nishmas Rav Chaim Mendel Ben Rav Tzvi Zichron Lebrocha, Vontel Nishmas, our esteemed founder, Rav Yosef Dov Ben Rav Shem Mechol Tzvi Itzkevitz Zichron Lebrocha.
I have to be honest, I could have listened to that all day. I could have carried on, should have carried on. Brilliant. So interesting. Okay, Parashat Shlach Lecha, we have a very, I would say, interestingly enough, it's probably one of the most important moments in Jewish history, because, I mean, all of Tisha B'Av that we were talking about, all comes from the Chetam Meraglim. Right, all comes from not being Nichnas in Teretz Israel. It literally diverted the course of history. And the truth is, if it's so central to Jewish history, it's probably one of the most central events that's ever happened in the world. So there's a lot to take out of this. But on the second level, it's very complex. I've heard six different Perushim this week on the Chetam Meraglim. Six different this week, literally, about what went wrong, without any details and any limudim and all that, but just about what went wrong. I've heard six this week. I've heard in the last 3 days.
I went to a chassan and two shadow brokers and heard the same shot 3 times.
Oh, wow, that's impressive. Okay. I'm not going to say any of those, probably, anyway. I'm not saying the six, I'm not saying the one, anyway. So I'd like to have a particular look at it from an angle and bring out a yesod that Revolver brings out in his Sefer Ali Shor, which I feel is a very practical set, I feel brings out a very practical yesod for us. Okay, so there's a very interesting... When we talk about what the chait was, there's two elements that seem to be confusing, because it seems to be that there's clearly two things going on. Because on the one hand, we say the following. We say, b'mispar hayomim, this is talking about when we actually talk about the oinesh, b'mispar hayomim asher taratem es ha'aretz, arbaim yoim l'shana, right? So we have 40 years keneged the 40 days. Now, let's go. If I was Klal Yisrael, I would say, 40 years? I didn't do anything wrong for 40 days. What did I do? And you, right? We listened to Lashon Hara, we were makabel the Lashon Hara, all of those things, but that happened on one day. It didn't happen for 40 days. Why should all of Klal Yisrael be blamed for 40 days? That was the Meraglim. But what about Klal Yisrael? Why did Klal Yisrael get that onus? Oh. But that means a bit more than that. It means that the Chazal talk about the fact that the Shiluach itself was a problem. The fact that you were Meshaleach Meraglim, Klal Yisrael made a mistake. Already on some level there was some level of mistake. Pardon? I'm going to talk. Can I ask the Kashas? Yeah. No, I'm joking. That's one of my Kashas. Absolutely brilliant. So the Shiluach of the Meraglim was some level of error, but we have to understand what that level of error was. So the Chazal have two broad approaches to what the error of the actual Shiluach HaMeraglim was. One is, the Medrash talks about an example of a king who wants to give his wife, his son a wife, and he finds a shidduch of epic proportions, a shidduch of unbelievable proportions. She is a beautiful woman, and she is extremely wealthy, right? And he tells his son, "I've got a brilliant shidduch for you." And his son goes, "Great, I'll have a look. If I like, great. If not, I won't." So the king goes, "Okay, right. What am I going to do now? If I say no, you can't have a look. Then if I say you can't have a look, then you're going to say, she must not be beautiful. She must not be. So I'm not going to go for it. So I have to tell him he can have a look." So then he has a look. He sees the most beautiful, wonderful, rich girl, and he goes, "Great." And his father goes, "No, you can't have her now." Right? So he says, so that's the moshul for the Meraglim. I told you've got this wonderful, beautiful land, Erezavas, Talamud, Vash, a phenomenal land. So Klal Yisrael went, "We'll have a look. If we like it, we'll go. If we don't, we're not promising anything." So the Rebbe Shlomo said, "Okay, sure, go, have a look. Then they went in, and he said, no. You can't have it now. Now that you've seen it, you can't have it, right? At least you can't have it then. So that's one pshat, meaning they rejected the toiv that the Rabboni Shalom told them, and they needed to check it out for themselves. Issue number one. Issue number two is, that Chazal talk about, is that there's two levels of this. Either there was an over-reliance on Hishtadlus, Either there was an over-reliance on Ishtadlis, they shouldn't have been, they were looking at this militarily and how you can conquer the land, etc. Or the Gemara actually brings out that there was an element of them actually being kofir, that they actually said the Ribbono Shel Olam won't be able to bring us into this land. We need to check this out. So there's some level of chisaron here. However, having said that, even if the Shiluach on the Meraglim was a problem, there's no doubt that there was a problem. The Ribbono Shel Olam says that he's going to deal with the Moitzia Dibara, right? The Moitzia Dibas Haaretz Ra. V'yamusa Anashim Moitzia Dibas Haaretz Ra. So it's clear that the Lashon Hara was the problem. So I don't know, it's Shiluach and Meraglim, it's like two problems, independent problems, had nothing to do with each other. There was the Lashon Hara, that happened to happen, and there was the Shiluach and Meraglim, which was to do with a Chisaron in Bitochon, or to do with a rejection of the Tova. Well, how do those two connect? They must connect. It's not randomly, there's two things that happen. So we'll look at the connection between those two. But there's bigger problems, because even when we talk about that Meraglim, that there's a problem with what happened, the Ramban mamash goes to town at tearing these apart. He says, I do not understand what the problem is. He says, on the one hand, it is a totally natural thing, and the Ribbono Shel Olam wants us to work al pi derech hateva. He says, ein somchen al aleish. You go to conquer a land, of course you go to check out whether you can conquer the land or not. You don't just go, well, the Ribbono Shel Olam wants us to go in here, let's just go. The Ribbono Shel Olam also wants us to be misparnes. Yeah, but if you go into a business without checking out the business first, you buy something without checking it out first, then you've got a chisaron ishtadlus. You haven't done what you're supposed to do. It's true, but when they're going into the land now, they need to go in. You're right, but when you're going into a land, it's a reasonable thing to want to conquer the land if you're going to conquer land. Ramban says, "Ein somchel al hanes." You're not supposed to be somchel al hanes if you don't need to be. So go into the land, check out if we can conquer the land. That's a reasonable thing to do. That was taina number one, the Ramban says. And the Ramban goes further and he says, at the end of the day, you can't tell me the Shiluach and Meraglim was a bad thing, because when they did conquer the land, they sent in Meraglim. So it can't be that bad. So that's actually what they did, and that's what they were supposed to do. He says, if you're talking about, and then the Ramban goes on to say, and if you're talking about checking out the goodness of the land, like the second pshat in Chazal, that they were rejecting the goodness of the land, the medrash of the wife, he says, V'yitachin ki Moshe ba'avur shiyada ki hi shmein of a tova, shenema el eretz tova harachava, eretz ha'askal of the vash, but Avur ken Amar lehem shi'itnu lev ladas kein. He told them, go in to see it. Why would he tell them to go and check out the goodness? Kedei shi'agidu la'am v'yismuchu v'yachlifu kayach la'aloi sham b'simcha. Because he wanted them to go in, bring back the fruit, say, whoa, this is amazing. Right, we're going to go in? So that's also not unreasonable in terms of the Shiluach HaMeraglim. It doesn't sound like there's... And the biggest problem is, the Ribbono Shel Olam said, do it. It can't be that the actual Shiluach HaMeraglim, the actual sending of the Meraglim, even if we're going to say, but Derech Shadam Reitzel Elech Molichim Oso, but you don't have a tzivui from the Ribbono Shel Olam to tell you to do an Aveira. That doesn't. What should I do now? Now he told me to go. So what should I do? Now I have to do the Aveira? It doesn't make sense. It can't be that the Shiluach Be'etzem is an Aveira. So then, what was going on? What was wrong? However, there is clearly, at the very least, we can see something extremely dangerous about the Shiluach HaMeraglim, which is funny. But first of all, proofs. The Ramban, when he talks about the Ribbono Shel Olam turned it into a mitzvah, he says, Shetiyo Shlichus b'mitzvasoi, should be with a mitzvah, v'shetiye kol shifteyim v'shiyu b'gedoleihem, send the Gedolei Hador for this mission. Why? Leman Yenatzlu, so that they are saved. What are they saved from? All they need. What was? That's one. So it was. We turned it into a mitzvah with the gedolim, just in case. Two, Kolev. What was Kolev worried about? I better go and daven in Hebron, because otherwise, who knows what could happen here? Who knows what could happen? There's a tremendous nisayon here. Okay. Four. You've got then. That's three so far. You've got four then. Moshe davened for Yeshua. I don't know why he davened only for Yeshua, but he davened for Yeshua. So, as Rashi says, Ka Yoshiacha Ma'atzas HaMeraglim, you should be saved. So clearly, from these four things, you can see sending the Meraglim was a very dangerous thing to do. And just the basic kasha that I want to deal with is, why? I told you to go and check out a business. All you need to do is bring me back the facts. If you just bring back the facts, we're talking about Gedolim. They're not talking about, obviously on their level, but we're not talking about people who are going to, why would there be such a desire to lie? All you need to do is say, is it big? Is it small? Is it fortified? Is it not fortified? Is it good fruit? Is it bad fruit? They just need to bring back a list. He had a list of questions. They need to bring back the list of questions, and that's all they needed to do. What was the big Nisayan? Before what we talk about how they made a mistake, it's clear that the Moshe Rabbeinu and the Ribbono Shel Olam saw, wow, you're sending Meraglim. We better daven for them. I don't get the big, it doesn't sound like there should be such a big Nisayan in this situation. Why should there be? Okay, so in order to answer that, I want to share a fundamental piece of revolver in terms of Avodas Hamidos. I really believe that this piece of revolver is, when you're talking about working on your middos, and we're talking about working on any middos, working on the middos of Savlanos, working on the middos of Kovod, working on the middos of Chesed, working on any middos, which the revolver goes through greatly, there is a fundamental mahalach that he has, that he sets up in Chelek Aleph, but he builds on in Chelek Beis. And he starts off by just analysing how do we dissect a miser? And it's an unbelievable piece of revolver, because you see, my Rabbi Rav Brazil once told me that he was, Rabbi Brazil said, I was a bit of a cheeky boy in Ramosh Shmuel Shiva. So he said, so I used to ask the Rosh Shiva and the Mashgiach, what do they think of each other? Right, it was So he once asked Ramosh Shmuel what he thought of revolver. And he said, Chad Bedara ba'aptait shel agada. Yeah, he was unique in his ability to aptait agada. So I think this is one of the examples of where you see his approach to it, which was amazing. Because you've got lots of different chazals whenever it comes to any chataim in the Midbar or any chataim in the Chumash, you've got loads of different chazals that bring out different makudas. And what happens is, we cynically say, it depends what the drosha is. If it's a drosha at the Sheva Brachas, you need to find the Sheva Brachas chet. Yeah? If it's a drosha in Shul Abba Mitzvah, you need to find the responsibility chet. If it's a drosha, and they gave you a realm, a plethora of things that could go wrong, and you choose the right one for the particular drosha you're doing. That doesn't make sense. So we understand Chazal are bringing out different angles, but this is what he does. He explains how the different dimensions work. So this is a classical piece. So he says the following. He says, whenever you're talking about, he talks about dissecting a miser, literally dissecting a miser. So he takes the example of Korach. He starts with Korach. And he says, there's four different parts to a miser. There's four different parts to the miser, that any miser that can go wrong. He says, I'm going to list them first, and then I'll explain in Korach so you can see an example. He says, number one, there's a shitta makifa. Right? Meaning, you end up with a shitter. You're working. This is your taina. This is what you say. This is the way you view the world. Two is, there is a nekudas hakadusha, a holy point, meaning something which is in the metzias, that is actually true, which is actually right, which is actually nachon. Yeah? So that's the second thing. And we're not talking about an order. We're talking about how it works. Three is, you've got a matzav hama'orer. A matzav hama'orer is something that triggers a particular midah. And then four, you've got the actual middah itself. The actual middah itself. Now, watch this. What he does in Korach. Unbelievable. So he says, what was Korach's shitta? What was Korach's shitta? Korach's shitta was, kola eda kulam kadoshi. I know it's not shir on Korach, but it brings out the point, right? He says, that's his shitta makifa, right? And zohu shitta makifa al mahusa mitzus atif tafkidu shel manhig. He's talking about, this is what I see leadership should be. Kolam kulam kadoshim, everyone's kadosh. Where is his nekudas hakadusha, or his achiza b'metzias? Where was he holding on to something in metzias? He saw beruach hakodesh that a shalsheles comes from him, Shmuel, and it says Shmuel shul shakul keneged Moshe v'Yisrael and Moshe v'Aaron. So he saw greatness coming from him. So he saw, I'm onto something. I've got a little bit of background for myself as well. Chazal say, why was he cholek on Moshe? Because he was niskana al nisiosa shel el safan ben uziel. He saw his cousin be appointed as the Nasi, and the appointment of the Nasi was the Matzav, Hama'oro, meaning something happened. Next stage, then there's a Middah of Kinnah. Then there's a Middah of Kinnah. So the way Rav Volba explains it is, you have a Matzav Hama'oro, which triggers a Middah. The Middah then takes some Achiza in Metzius, some actual reality of what's going on. Can't just lie. Takes a reality, something that's real, and then builds a shitta from it. Right? And then builds a shitta from it.
The shitta
is what happens at the end, basically. It ends up being, now you think this. Because what happened was you had the matzav, which was Moira the Middah, which took then a Metzius, and then you built something out of it. Right? So, I'll give you an example. Right? Let's take it one stage further. This is the Yesod. This is that people talk about, other people talk about as well. This is something that Rav Volba brings out, which is, in my opinion, it's life-changing, actually. It's a very, very powerful Yesod. And he says the following. He says, Mida sheyechola lehisorer be'ezer matzav, right? Any mida which could be aroused in a particular situation, neida bevadaos ki oso mida po'eles bekirbeinu az. You have to know with certainty at that point it has been triggered. Harehi misoreres bevadai. It will definitely be misorer. V'chol ma'aseh shenaaseh ba'oso matzav, and therefore anything that you now do is, I'm going to dilute it a little bit, but this isn't what he says, but the dilution will be good enough for us because we can't take the hard one, right? Noveya mitoch ha'midah hahi. At least some of it will come from that midah. Let me give you an example. I'll give you an example in my life, right? Without it, I don't want this to be confessional, but it'll be confessional a little bit, right? Let's say you've got, I'll give you two examples. Let's say you've got a speaker. I come in here on a Tuesday morning and I see another speaker in Start Your Day the Torah Way. And I start listening to the speaker and he smashes it out of the park. Whoa. He gives a sheer that is just unbelievable, just remarkable, just in its depth and in its beauty and it is everything, right? And the Olam's with him and it's got a much bigger crowd than I get, right? All of the above, right? All of the above, yeah? Imagine this. Now. So there's a matzav hama'ore, meaning, is there a potential for me to be jealous at this point? Yes, there is, right? So says Rav Volba, don't just say, no, don't be jealous, Bazak. Neida bevadaos, that now kina has been generated. You are now jealous. That's it. You are now jealous. Okay, so what? So now listen, when somebody asks me, when someone says, wow, that shir was unbelievable, and I go, yeah, it's Rav Tzadok. That yeah, it's Rav Tzadok came from jealousy. Why did you have to tell him it came from Rav Tzadok? Right? Now, or at least it could have come from jealousy. At the very least, even if you're going to dilute what he's saying, at least it could have come from jealousy, so you have to be very, very careful in every matzav that you're in, because a matzav will be ma'orer amida. If a matzav, there's no point in saying, no, just don't be jealous. And I'm going to prove this point from this week's parasha as well. I'm going to prove it from this week's parasha as well. So it's a dover poshut when it comes to certain things, and we just don't necessarily always apply it to middas.
Okay. Yeah, but it could be two things. One is content, Mishor Dovah Vashuma, and the other one is style. Some people have got the information throughout life, but they can't transmit
it's
it.
It's true,
and that's
but
what they're saying. You were a great transmitter.
One second. Oh, no, I'm not telling the person off for not saying it's Rutaduk. I'm saying that if I would say it was Rutaduk, I would be coming from jealousy because I want to, for whatever reason, right? So I've been triggered. I'll give you another example of me being triggered. Another example. I once had a situation where there was a particular issue there was basically a conference, and there was an organisation that was organising some level of conference during COVID, and I was very bothered about some of the speakers they had got were Anoshim Gedolim Ma'od, and I felt that they had been tricked into speaking for this organisation, that they didn't know what the organisation was fully, and I felt that they had been tricked, and I was really bothered about it, because I felt it was... I felt it was a bit of a pirate. And they were big people, really big people, much bigger than me. So I called up someone in Eretz Yisrael, actually Rabbi Brazil again, and I said, I'm coming from his hashkofas, right? His hashgafas that he's taught me. And I was very passionate about them. And I told him everything that I thought, and this, I think this has happened, and this is what the Metzius is. And I told him, we've got to do something about this. And his response to me was, are you feeling threatened by this? I went, no, I'm not feeling threatened by this. I've got like a hashgafic problem that you have taught me about, and I'm trying to do something about it now. Why does that have to be coming from a lowly place in me? So he quoted, "B'matzav that a midah can be misoro, it will be misoro." You seem very passionate about this at the moment. Where is that passion coming from? Is it coming from you're an unbelievable Baal Hashkafa who's got incredible, and you're driven by just truth and emes and yashrus, or there's other things going on? He says, there are other things going on. I'm just wondering if it's coming from there. Right? Okay. You have to be able to deal with that. But there's the fact that that is true. Let me just bring it out in a slightly other way, in a slightly different way. We have in this week's parasha, at the end of the parasha, Rashi says, "V'lo sasura acharei." Well, the pasuk says, "V'lo sasura acharei nechem, acharei levavchem, acharei levavchem, acharei nechem." Rashi says, "Lo sasuru." Ah, that's a very interesting word in this week's parasha, because what are the meraglim told to do? They're sent losur esaretz, kmo mitur haaretz, like we said in this week's parasha. So Rashi says, "Halei v'hainayim him meraglim leguf." They're meraglim. Meraglim for the goof. Okay, so now, and then Rashi goes on, he says, what do they do? The iron is Raya, the lev is Chomed, and then the goof is Osa the Averus. So therefore, be Shomer Yerenayim. I've got a better idea. Why do you have to be Shomer Yerenayim? Don't be Shomer Yerenayim. What do Enayim do? Enayim just bring you information. Now, what do you do with that information? That's your business. Dealing with the information. What's wrong with a leg is a leg. Hair is hair. Clothing is clothing. That's just the metzias of what's in front of you. Meaning I could, none of us would ever have this problem. Meaning none of us will ever actually think that what I'm about to say is a true point because it's ridiculous. Why don't we just say, you can see what you want to see, but then don't have hirurim raim. But then don't have machshavas lo tovus. Rahman al-Islam. Because it doesn't work like that. The information comes in and it triggers straight away. There's nothing that is a part of human behavior that you cannot detach from each other.
Well, Rav Rashi used to hold the cut on his shoulders because
it could be that there are some levels of beyond us, but right. So there can be some levels, but in terms of the basic system of how it works, no, the Einayim Aroyim, the Lev is Chomed, that is an automatic. That's just the way it works. That's just the way it works. So now, I want to bring it back to our parasha. If that's the case, then that I think the Shiluach and the Meraglim, the Etzem, is dangerous. Why? Because any time that you are, you can't just say, well, they'll just have a look at what's going on in Eretz Yisrael, and they'll bring back the information. No, control of information is going to be filtered through your negias. Now, their negias were beyond us. They were war. We can't even really imagine what their negias were, how Hashem Shemayim were. But were they negias? Were they? There were. Chazal said that. Chazal talk about the fact that they understood that they didn't want to move from Nes. So Teva, Chazal say they didn't want to lose their position as the Nasiim, right? Was there a Midah? And Revolver talks about this, but the Srora or Kovod is the Midah, and that was triggered. So now, when they're going into that situation, that is a Matzav that is triggering them. That is a Matzav that is tapping into their Negias. So now they will see, and they will report based on that, if they don't do something about it. That is an Nisayon. You are now in the realm of Nisayon, because you can't just say, no, he'll just look at it and bring back the information. Why can't they just be straight? We don't say that when it comes to our Hirurim. What do you mean? I'll just see the leg and I won't have Machshavas Lo Tovus. It doesn't work like that. Ha'ayin Raya, Ha'alev Chomed. That's it. When a Matzav can be Ma'ura the Midah, it will be Ma'ura the Midah. And now you have to work based on that. Okay, so then they came into the situation and they were in a terrible Nisayon now. Because now, all the information was being filtered through them, and they now need to present without their negius. Without their negius, says the Ramban, that's where they fell. The shiluach was dangerous. That wasn't, that per se, it wasn't an aveira. But when they came back, they added one word. They said everything, ephes. They added one word. That was it. One word. What was that one word? It was them on their levels. I'm just bringing it down for us, yeah, in terms of the same midah. Yeah? They were the media. Meaning, it's just an editorial slant. But I heard it this morning on the radio. Someone was talking, I heard it this morning on the radio, that somebody was talking about, just listen to the news, and somebody said, Mr. Trump and thing has announced again. Again. Do you just, all you did by that again was you gave a slant on this. You didn't present information. Now, was it true? Yes, 100% true. But it just came from Nagias, it came from a slant, it came from a presentation to distort people's... That is a tremendous nisayon once you have information. Once you have ideas, to be able to that it's coming through your Nagias and now you're going to present it your way, that's a tremendous nisayon. And that was the nisayon that they had in the Dara Midbar. On their level, that's beyond us. But as a message for us, I think that's a very powerful message that we can actually take. That we can take the message that, first of all, this Yesod of Volba, that he says, in every situation that a midah can be nisayor, neida bevados, that it is misayor. And now the question is, how do you deal with the fact that I want covered, or I want, or I'm jealous, or I am this aver, or I whatever. Now you have to deal with it, but you can't say just switch off the midah. No, I won't get it. No, I will. But I will not. No, you do. You do want your midahs have been triggered. Now, once you're in that situation, you have to understand that was the shiluach hamarag and the danger. Now, once you're in that situation, you need to battle against it. You need to battle against it. And their small battle, on their high level, that's just beyond us, but on their small way, they lost that battle, and they just presented their editorial slant on the information that they needed to receive. So, Be'ezus Hashem, we should be able to be zocher, that we can always know our midas, know what's going on inside us, and therefore be able to be oved on those midas.
Sorry. So now I got a problem because the earlier speaker has overwhelmingly outshone me, and I've been grappling with the fact that I'm going to present something after what is just said. But I'll go to the Sedra and make a small he'ura on the point which the Meraglim said. From the again, the kid, that sometimes you have to understand the nuances. Because Rashi says a very interesting observation on this pusik. They came by Sapriloi, as soon as they came and reported about what happened in the land. The first thing they said was, "Gam zuvas chulav edvashi v'ze piryo," that this land is a land which is flowing with milk and honey. And look, we're going to show you the fruit. It's enormous pomegranates and figs, grapes, outlandishly large. There was no comment that the fruit was monstrous or unusually large. But they said, no, it's Zuvas Chulav Edvash, it's a beautiful country. So Rashi says something remarkable. Kol Dvar Sheker, it's actually, I think it's quoted in the Gemara and Sota. Kol Dvar Sheker She'ein Oimrim. They intentionally inserted a little bit of truth in the beginning and they spoke favorably about the fruit in order so that what they said at the end should hold water. And of course the next word was Efes ki azvom, like it says, the but, the proverbial but. Now, the reason they said in the beginning was that this fruit is so delicious and it looks, you know, so delectable, is because they wanted what was going to follow to be accepted and absorbed. Now, the Torah teaches us a sort of betzedek tishpoit ha-mesech. If you can be done the kaf schiz, then why would you be done the kaf choiv? So you might say that Meraglim, at the predisposition at the beginning, Vayelchi Vayuvoi, Ma Yitziusom Baitzeru. But essentially, it's very plausible. They might just say, yes, you should know, you sent us to examine and to check out the country, we did so. You want a description of the fruit? This is the description. It's a very beautiful country. It has delicious produce, and there you have it in front of you. And now you want to know with regards to the strategy and with regards to the people and with regards to the dangers involved of capturing it. Efeski has one, we're telling you the second half too. Why does Rashi go out of his way to say you should know that the reason that they said that the fruit is delicious is only so that what they said after and which follows is either going to be accepted, because everything that you say which is full of falsehood, if you insert a little bit of truth at the beginning, then it's going to be accepted. Get the kashan, huh? So to answer that, so maybe something which we said before, but it's very, very beautiful, because Moshe Rabbeinu gave them strict instructions. If you follow the storyline before Shaini, it says, Vayishlach oisem Moshe Lucia seetz kenuan. What did he say to them? Alizeh ba'negev alisem esoha. Now come the instructions. This is what you are supposed to establish in the land. Iri'isem esuretz mahi. Vesuoma yoshevelehu. What are they? Hechuzak kiarufe. Are they mighty? Are they weak? Hamati, are they is multitudes? Or maybe they're few. And then let's speak about more about the people. What sort of fortresses do they hold? Are they in a place where they protect themselves? They've been castles and it's open plan. And all this is reflective on war strategy. How are we supposed to take them? And therefore, these are the things you're supposed to spy. Finally, just before Shaini, what sort of land is it? Is it fat? Is it lean? Is it something which gives produce? Is it a country which yields delicious fruits or not? And then, ayesh po'aitzim, ayin, etc. So, kim tochos azoi. Question one and question two were specifically directed towards knowing what the strengths of the people are and how are they with regards to the threat which is to us if we're going to invade, we're going to take over this country. And point two was about the fruit and to know the agricultural perspective of this land. There's a klal. Wise people answer A for B. If you ask them two questions, and they answer A and B. So they answer first A and they answer B. Gebin Yoraya from Rivku. They asked her, first of all, what's your name? And do you have anywhere to stay for us with the camels? So she said, yes, her name is Rivku Bas Basiel, Rami, etc., etc. Yeshlu Nimukam Lulin, also the Gemalim and everything else. So therefore there was an A and a B, and the answers were in sequence, because wise people speak like that. Even she was a young girl. These spies didn't answer in sequence, because the first thing they said was the fruit. They said, you want to know about the land? We'll tell you. This is delicious, delectable fruit. It's yum. Look at that. Look at this produce. Look at these grapes. Look at these figs. Woman, I didn't ask you about the fruit first. I asked you about the people first. Why did you choose to describe the fruit first? Why didn't you speak about the order and the sequence which I told you? Speak about the people, then speak about the fruit, because that was the order of the questions. Follow the answers accordingly. So Rashi says, a moiridik insight, you know, that the whole reason was called Vasheke, even though we asked the question, maybe that was how they saw it. No, if that's how you saw it, then answer the questions as they were asked. But no. The whole reason that they inserted the description of the fruit first was in order so that the description of the land, which they said, and that it's a place which is Eretz Oicheles Yeshveyu, a country which consumes its inhabitants, and that should be absorbed. Last part of the Seder, just to finish off with a nice story, which is very, very sweet, because it speaks about tzitzis. He mentioned tzitzis, so I'll follow on from that. That there was, in the time following the Second World War, the Heilige Klosenberger Rebbe, who was in a DIP camp. And although he lost a wife and 12 children, he was much more concerned about rebuilding what was there. And so therefore he set up a Heide, and he tried to be in Sadik Edition and to marry off men and women there with the continuity of the Jewish race. He was a man. One could begin to understand where he took these energies from. Al Kolpunem, Eisenhower came to the camp, to the DIP camp, and he walked in and he heard about this rabbi who, notwithstanding his own personal loss, was busy fortifying everybody else and invigorating them with chizik. And he listened to this drusha, and they had somebody who was interpreter to tell what the Rebbe was saying. And apparently Eisenhower was very moved, and some say that he had tears in his eyes. Maybe he didn't, I don't know. I wasn't there. But when he'd finished, he went over to the Rabbi. He says to him, I'm overwhelmed with your personality, Rabbi. What can I do for you? I mean, what you've been through, tell me something small, I'd like to be able to be of use to you. So the Rebbe said it in Yiddish, but he said to him, listen, you want to do something for me? I'll tell you. We're coming up to the Yom Tov of Sukkos. We need to have here Arba Minim. You know what means Arba Minim? Lilev, Esrig. He's talking about, but the other one said to him, we are near Italy. That's a country which produces it. It's not far. You got planes. You can bring your pilot. You should bring over here, from here, some Arba Minim, Zolzam, Sikkos. He said, and another thing we need here. Keinach katzitzes. You understand? Nobody has got the... So he said to him, it's a special religious garb that they wear. Tzitzes! Steiß spretzede! Tzitzes! So then, he said, yeah, bring some tzitzes. We can't wait. There's no other thing in the DIP camp. True to his word, within a few days, he dispatched personally a pilot from the Air Force, and they brought back the Arba Minim, and they brought also the tzitzes. And then the Klosenberger Ruf got hold of these 10 pairs of tzitzes, which he brought, which he got from some Judaica shop there. And the oilem from the thousands of people in the DIP camp, there were still a couple of hundred which really aspired and wanted to cleave to mitzvahs. And they ran towards him and they wanted to get the tzitzes, but there were only 10 pairs. So there was a yid there called Pshitrik. It was a Gerichuset, and I knew his son. I saw him when I was in yeshiva. The father lived in America afterwards. And the father was in the DIP camp together with the Klosenberger Ruf. And the Klosenberger Ruf said to him, Was bist du? So, ich finde Zitzes. So, to jeder eine von Zitzes. Du hast noch zwei, die diese Zitzes. Was bist du erjachtsen? Why do you think that you take preference? So, he took his camp shirt, which he was wearing, the only thing that he had in his body. And he tore the shirt right up the middle till here, until it was right up to his sisters. Jetzt bin ich begiv mit der Reise. Ich hab aber Kampfes. Ich darf oben Zitzes. The Rebbe Mama started to cry. Person lost his family, his closest, everything. And the only thing that concerned him, that he was obsessed with now, he needs to have Zitzes to such an extent that the one shirt that he had, he now ripped in order to be Mekayim the Mitzvah to influence the Rebbe. And the Rebbe says, been a spool. I'm overwhelmed. You have to do things properly. Let's take a lot and we'll see. If you're supposed to get the tzitzes, they made the lottery for the 10 and all the names went in. The first name that came out for the tzitzes, Shitrik. And he got his pair of tzitzes. Kichabas.
Thank you. Thank you.